Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 550. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Well, it's been a busy weekend. That's why I ended up turning our subject into a three, possibly four-part viewing session for AIW's Built to Last, which will be the topic du jour on this podcast. I had a hockey game Friday. We ended up having some other stuff to do on Saturday and Sunday. So I watched the first couple of matches Friday late after the event was over. I watched a little more on Saturday, and then I finished it up in three different sessions today. As usual, I feel like the AIW product has brought me enjoyment. That's all I can ask. And this was one of their... The ones that we've reviewed have kind of been more of their major shows, I feel like. And this one was definitely a minor show, especially clocking in at just under 3 hours was a nice runtime for, you know, a non-signature event.
Oh, yes. Absolutely, yeah. There's if it's a non-signature event, there is no need to go over 3 hours. In length, this show was paced very well. I enjoyed it a lot. Yeah, you said it was a minor event show and more of a setup show for the big show in Tampa in April, WrestleMania weekend. But for what, you know, for something that, you know, that for them, for AIW trying out this, their new relationship with independentwrestling.tv, you know, this, the independent wrestling streaming service that's hosted dozens of other promotions. This was something worth trying, and for any, and since I think a lot of people were probably using a free trial to watch this, absolutely, you know, worth my time.
Free is always worth it, and they have complained about people not using their codes for different things that you have a chance at of using it for. So they at least got a couple of uses. I would imagine that there were more. There's at least three, because I believe that our good buddy Steve Williams either had a subscription.
He's had Independent Wrestling TV subscription for a while, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he's at... Yeah.
But I know that he definitely watched... And I felt like this, their streaming service was more of a new-ish development, in that they usually just housed past events and they didn't really air them live, or am I mistaken with that?
AIW's relationship with them, it started off with just having past events, but a number of independent promotions use them for live streaming. Beyond Wrestling, Black Label Pro, some of the more well-known indies who utilize independentwrestling.tv. Gotta say, excellent quality stream. I have absolutely no complaints. I had no blips or dips. It was a quality outing, so big ups to everyone involved, the Independent Wrestling TV team, the Smart Mark Video team, because I know that those two entities have merged recently, the AAW crew, everyone did a great job there.
And it worked very well on replay. There are certainly times where I've had... Mainly, it's kind of funny that the WWE Network is the place where I've had the most issue, where sometimes it'll run without me having played it or something, or it won't keep the spot over a prolonged time period. But as I noted, I kind of, you know, paused it and left it go for large chunks of time this weekend. And I was able to pick it up exactly from where I was at, which is nice. You know, I don't typically want to keep a browser open for 3 days
right, of course.
Watching something, honestly. But, you know, again, that's the way it worked out for me. And it worked well, you know, everything, because I would have, you know, it's always different when you're watching the live stream than when you're watching it after the fact. Like, there's just always going to be less people watching it after the fact.
Right, of course.
So, yeah, and I guess I could say that just because a bunch of wrestling Twitter, before we actually started this, was talking about Bizarro Lucha, I decided to tune into that on independent wrestling TV, and it was running just fine. I know that Shotzi Blackheart was the first one to bring it to my attention. And, oh, that was another thing about the service, is because I was watching, I was still watching AIW, but they had a pop-up come up while I was watching that asked me if I wanted to tune into Bizarro Lucha live.
Huh.
And you could just click yes or no. And that was that's kind of a nice little feature, too, if you get little heads up about other events starting while you're in there.
Yeah. No, that's a very nice feature. The functionality and the format of independent wrestling activity is very good. It's very good for, once again, an independent, you know, an independent production company. They do a great job over there, huh?
Yep. So now that we're out of the plaudits for the service are out of the way, I guess we can get to the event.
Absolutely.
You know, this is, I would hope the people that that are tuning in are getting a little more familiar, like we are, with all the players in AIW. I mean, this is our fourth podcast dedicated exclusively to them, so... we definitely had a, they do a pretty good job with their, opening matches. This one involves Zach Thomas and Chase Oliver. You know, it does, and I think we've talked about it, they have a nice, cadence for how the indie wrestling shows just run quicker than the WWE, because there isn't any real long talking segments. And you're never going to get a long match right off the bat.
Right, no. Not a long match. A showcase match for two young newer talents. First time seeing Oliver for myself. Zach Thomas, I believe, on the last AIW show, had the misfortune of... of basically being in a death match with one Nick Gage, a somewhat easier challenge for him on this night, but still not a winning effort though either.
No, it's kind of interesting. Just I do feel like he's had I've seen him now, Zach Thomas, that is, a handful of times. I believe they said that Chase Oliver had been around, but had taken some time off for one reason or another, you know, within the last 12 months or so. But I'm not terribly familiar with him. But I like Zach Thomas, and it's kind of interesting. Normally, when you have a losing streak kind of a situation going on like him, you end up going... on to be a heel to help change your tune and to get on a winning streak. But he's kind of already a heel, so I don't know where they go with him. But, you know, he's got time, I guess, you know. Like you said, he's kind of one of the younger guys, so it's not going to hurt him not to be on top of the card less than a year into his run, in AIW.
This match, fine opener, fine showcase for two fresh talents in AEW, but, you know, of course, both of us are regular listeners of the AIW podcast, Typically John Thorne does not like, owner and promoter of AIW doesn't like putting, any kind of big matches on first. He subscribes to the theory of, it's to get people warmed up and in their seats and whatnot. Unless there's ridiculous travel issues and he's got to throw a match on first that he wasn't really planning on.
Which
has happened. but on this night, he did not seem to have those kind of issues.
No. I don't know how the winter's been up in Cleveland, but I will just say that we've pretty much just had an extended fall in Columbus. So, hopefully there weren't any travel issues, although I know that there is some around. Up next, second match, VSK, who is one of the guys from Creative Pro, taking on who used to be a regular for AIW, Dominic Guarini. He has taken a little bit of a back seat since signing a contract with MLW. But he has been around in a reduced role, I would say.
I mean, he's made every show I've watched, so I don't really notice him.
I guess I feel like they were maybe pushing him towards a championship at some juncture, and that is definitely not happening now.
Yeah, he Dom ended up being the head trainer at the AIW school. Although I don't know, maybe he's working, obviously working less there than now that he's with MLW and he's getting more dates outside of the Cleveland area in general.
Yeah,
I mean, he was definitely going to be. Seemed to be on track to be a homegrown champion, long term champion for AIW, and seems like plans have changed in that regard.
But he does. He has solid matches. This VSK character seems to be pretty good too. It was like you said, John Thorne doesn't tend to pack the front of the card with anything too crazy, and this is one of them. It was a good solid match and a nice victory for VSK, who seems like he will be around or at least moving up the card more than Greeny will be for the time being.
Yeah, and of course we must not mention the aftermath. Dominic Guarini blaming one Big Twan for his loss and attacking Twan after the match. I assume setting up a match between them, maybe in Tampa. Dom Greeny, maybe it looks like his role going forward is going to be putting over his former students.
It's definitely a role that that needs to be filled, and that that seems to be lined up for him. Whether it's in Tampa or elsewhere, that's definitely going to happen in the somewhat near future. One guy that does go on early and has a big name by request, as the AIW podcast mentions, Alex Shelley taking on Lee Moriarty. This is part three. I believe that you saw part two, correct?
Yes, I saw part two. You would have seen part one live, I believe.
That did happen down at the Tadmore Shrine. There's too much going on for me to make it back to Akron again. unfortunately, for this upcoming one in late February. But yeah, they had their first match there. Alex Shelley won that one. Lee Moriarty, his opponent again this night, was victorious the last show that we watched. And I'm trying to remember what the name of that was, and it's escaping me currently. And so, yeah, we had the rubber match, which was a submission match, which was kind of interesting. I don't remember either match ending in a submission, but it does put an interesting stipulation on the proceedings.
Yeah, it did a lot. I mean, they both scored. Did Shelley beat Moriarty by pinfall or submission in Akron?
I thought it was by pinfall, but I could be wrong.
It makes sense that they both got pinfall wins over each other, so now we move towards a submissions match, which is the more definitive way to beat somebody. No, this was an absolutely tremendous match. I hats off to both of them. They did a really, really, you know, really strong match. You know, more grounded than really any other match on the card, or most matches you'll see in AEW or probably in independent wrestling these days. But you know, once again, fantastic match. I really enjoyed it a lot. You know.
Yeah, that's been my only problem with Alex Shelley going on that early is that it's pretty much put the best, if you want to call it this way, like WWE style professional wrestling match on fairly early on the card. And yeah, because this one probably from a straight up wrestling standpoint was the best of the night.
Right. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. This was the match of the night. I enjoyed it more than any other match on the show, including the main event. Yeah. No. Because you know you don't see wrestling matches this good in a lot of places that you know. Without you know really big high spots or anything of the like, this was just a really strong wrestling match with Moriarty getting the big win, making Alex Shelley tap out, and then it seemed to be an agreement for the two to team going forward.
Yeah, and hey, why not? I guess I'm not going to argue with that happening. because they wrestle well against each other, they should wrestle well together. Alex Shelley does seem to have a habit of forming fun tag teams too. I feel like from pretty much all of his partners seem to end up working out for whatever reason. And yeah, Lee Moriarty's been, you know, he's more than held up his end of the bargain in these matches.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Moriarty's a definite star. I hope he achieves his dreams of wrestling in Japan. An excellent performer, great wrestler. Alex Shelley has definitely done his part to make Lee Moriarty a star. So hopefully we get a good follow up to that.
Next up on the docket, is, Super Oprah versus Swoggle.
And now for something completely different.
Because I have seen Super Oprah in action live at an event, I was wondering if you had, seen Super Oprah before.
You know what? She's done. She's appeared in Detroit Indies before, but I've had the privilege of attending live before. So this, nor have I ever seen Super Oprah on any form of video either. So this was my first Super Oprah experience.
So what did you think of your Super Oprah experience?
It's a it was what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is, you know, this was your freak show match. I hope I don't offend anybody by saying that. It was no, wait, I had some genuine laughs from it. I, you know, it was something, you know, after the previous match, you give people something completely different. You know, it's the three-ring circus theory of wrestling that Mick Foley espoused in, I believe, in his first book, about how you just about every match on a show should be different from each other. In particular, the you know, no two matches should certainly be the work the same back to back. That was definitely not the case during on this show here at this point. Not a fan of the tampon spot.
Oh.
No, I no, that not for me. But whatever. It popped the crowd. It sure
Yeah.
did some people.
Yeah, Super Oprah is something to take in. Yeah, it's one of those you just got to look that one up on your own and just soak it in. There's got to be a video clip somewhere. If not, I would imagine that there is some type of still out there that you can find. Yeah, just give it a look-see, and you will know why. Yeah, this was something completely different, and that's I guess that's fine. Like, you do not need all of every match being an Alex Shelley match would be a little bit crazy. So yeah, this was something different. People, like you said, people reacted to it. It was pretty entertaining for the most part. The tampon spot was 100% gross. And you know, we kept on you know, changing things up here because next up.
Oh yeah, Swoggle won, by the way.
Oh.
If that matters at all.
Yeah. I like it mattered so little to me. I was not even gonna think about not mentioning the winner of that match. because yeah, it's I guess it does at least matter in the record book, so it should go on record. We got a tag team scramble match. This is definitely something that happens a lot in AIW. And I'm trying to think. I did not write down all the teams. I did note that To Infinity and Beyond were the champion, or ended up winning to get the rights to take on the champions.
AIW, it's all action, it's moves, but man, AIW's tag team division and how they present it is kind of the weak link of the AIW product, in my opinion. It's just I don't remember, as you kind of made it to it. No, unless you wrote it down, I don't remember anyone's names in the match besides Cheech and Colin Delaney, who are featured, and they did win the match. But I mean,
Yeah,
everyone else in the
'cause
match did cool stuff, but nothing registered in it, and I don't even remember any of their names.
yeah, I know that site friend Cameron Hawkins recently interviewed AJ Gray.
Oh yeah, that's right. You
And
know, and him I like. I was kind of disappointed that him and
Trey Lamar.
Trey Lamar. Yeah, they impressed me. Now that I'm thinking about it, yes, they are the ones who impressed me the most. And I was kind of hoping that they would win instead of running the same match, you know, again, that we've seen pretty much on almost every other AIW show we've watched. Which, but that might be the issue of AIW, you know, number one, getting talent for their, you know, locked in Tampa, the outside talent locked into Tampa, and just in general them trusting that the people they put in championship matches and put their titles on aren't going to get signed anywhere else in the next 3 to 6 months. That John Thorne does talk about.
Yeah, he certainly is talked because AJ Gray is somewhat blowing up that he's a little bit concerned. He's had the same concern with Danhausen, who you know, was not on this show at all. So yeah, I think that might be the only reason. I really do like them a lot as a tag team. Because I believe the Bitcoin Boys were in the match. Which is three teams. And I'm trying to think of who the fourth team was. And that part is not coming to me without looking it up. So forgive me, whoever you were. I do not remember. And I'm not looking it up currently. So... yeah, I would have rathered a fresh match, no matter who it was, but they do seem to put a lot of faith in Colin Delaney and Cheech.
Yeah, and like we'll talk about later, maybe the plan is to put a special gimmick around it to blow off the PME to Infinity and Beyond Feud once and for all, to make it more worthwhile, but man, I... As long as they were available, I'm going to stay available. I think I would have given it to Gray and Lamar.
Yeah. Agreed. So I believe we got intermission after that one, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. It was intermission, yes. One of the tamer intermissions AIW has had, though it was only 10 minutes, so it didn't, it breezed by.
Yeah, and I'm kind of okay. I much rather the gimmick of people interrupting happen, because this was maybe maybe not underrated part of the show, but it's better when they have announcers. Like, I enjoyed the shit show that happened last time they ran a live event, because evidently Duke was having some health issues, so he was not able to make it at that time. And their other regular announcer couldn't make it either. And I enjoyed that for one show, but that was going to be way too much if it happened all the time.
Right.
And it didn't. They had the regular announcers, so they just had people come in and do their little spots during the 10-minute intermission, and that's a fair enough way to fill up the live feed, you know, because we don't need to go to the concession stand.
Right.
Although, hey, you know, it is probably a good time to go use the facilities if you actually watched it on time. Alley Cat versus CPA was next up on the docket. I would have to say that this one skewed a little more towards the Swoggle and Super Oprah side of wrestling than some of the other matches too.
Yeah, this was interesting. I mean, this was intergender wrestling, which is one of the things that AIW was probably one of the first to market with, actually, in the independent wrestling business, that many other companies have taken and taken it plenty further than AIW ever did. Alley Cat is at this point, I think the only woman who is a regular in AIW, and thus is often put against men, because, you know, for whatever reason, there's not often other women around in AIW.
Yeah, I mean, there does seem to be a... I mean, we talked about on our show on 549 about how bad AEW's women wrestling is. I can't imagine it's much better on the independent scene at this juncture.
Right. Yes, the talent pool definitely needs to be replenished.
Yeah. And I don't know. Hopefully it's happening somewhere and we'll get to see it sometime. But for the time being, it's it definitely has not really been a thing for AIW. And, hey, when you have, when the woman is pretty much the same size as the guy in the match, there is definitely always, more believability, in the proceedings.
I have absolutely no problem believing that, that Alley Cat could have wasted that guy, yeah. I mean, it was a glorified squash for Alley Cat, really. It was...
Yeah,
which was nice because once again she's definitely an AIW regular. It's someone who is very well received by the AIW crowd. So this was fine.
That was a fun one. And next up, you already alluded to it. We had the Philly Marino Experience taking on Bear Country. And I believe Bear Country is another one that's out of Creative Pro that has... were they on the show that you had watched? Or
I don't remember.
Okay, they were at...
I apologize to Bear Country if I've seen them before.
They were at the Tadmore Shrine then. If you didn't remember seeing them, I'm 100% positive then they were at the Tadmore Shrine, and it was hard not to overlook the size of these two gentlemen. Independent wrestling definitely does not tend to be the WWE sized people, sized wrestlers, I should say. So these two are definitely in that mold. Whether they get there or not is a whole different question, but at least their size is something that that would automatically have the WWE perk their ears up at. And I did.
Another team, another act I would like to see more of than AIW running with the same match over and over again. I mean, Bear Country versus Gray and Lamar. I think that would have been a heck of a match to do in Tampa, but not where AIW is headed with everything. And yeah, I was kind of disappointed in this. I mean, because I really like what I saw from Bear Country.
That was one where I guess I kind of felt like because they aren't. You know, AIW's people, Bear Country, that they were the ones that didn't end up winning. I did think that they had a good way to, you know, Bear Country was going for some type of an electric chair type move, with one being on the other's shoulder, and Marino took advantage of it by giving one of them a downward spiral from the electric chair position. I did think that was a good way to solve the size differential in the match without making the extra big guys look dumb for not being able to take home the win from the guys half their size. So yeah, I guess I enjoyed the match itself. I wasn't surprised by the outcome, just because, again, like, those are kind of AIW's guys. It would have helped, you know, the earlier match to me is more what needed to change.
Yeah, because there's only so far you can go with Colin Delaney, I think. I mean, he's just an aging guy who had a cup of coffee in WWE, and it's just nothing about it works for me.
Yeah, like, him and Cheech wrestle good matches, But it, yeah, like, it doesn't really do anything for me. Like, it's, but I guess it is one of those ones where, from the dependability standpoint, I guess I understand why John Thorne is doing it. Like, he's not going to get signed by anyone at this point.
Right, of course.
So, you know, he's definitely going to be there. Oh, and you know what? I feel bad because Aeroform was the other team in the tag team scramble match. And I should have remembered them. Just it triggered me because they have been around a long time, too. Because they were in White Prime Wrestling, or yeah, Pro Wrestling Ohio, whichever one you want to go with there. So they've been around the independent scene since Gargano started, and they're still kind of in the same spot. But yeah, they were the fourth team, and yeah, they've kind of. They're really good at wrestling, too, but at this point, their careers are what their careers are. Kind of like Colin Delaney. Like, I don't, you know, I don't see anything more than doing the indies that he does currently. So, next match up, then, on the card here was... Tom Lawler taking on Jeff Cobb. Jeff Cobb evidently has some free time here. Not one of the people that decided to stick around Ring of Honor. And yeah, he had a fun, hard-hitting, very believable match with Tom Lawler.
Yeah, he absolutely did. No, I like this match a lot. It was probably... I would easily call it my third favorite match on the show after, of course, Shelley and Moriarty and then and the main event. I like this match a lot. It was hard-hitting. It was two, you know, as they say, legit tough guys, you know, wrestling a amateur wrestling slash MMA-style match with, you know, Japanese strong style moves thrown in, I guess would be a way to describe it. Yeah, no, these two worked really well together, as I think you'd probably expect them to. I mean, they both have, as I said, it's coming from similar backgrounds. This was definitely a really good match. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, it reminds me of kind of one of those. It's not such of a big guy match as, like, the Cesaro-Sheamus matches, but it kind of feels like something in that vein where, you know, two guys were just really going at it. And I guess I wasn't really surprised since it's pretty clear that Jeff Cobb can probably go anywhere that he wants to at this point with a contract. He is the one that takes the loss. Tom Lawler, who is a stalwart in AIW these days, gets the win. I was a little bit surprised it is by tap out, honestly. I was a little surprised it wasn't a pinfall style of loss.
Yeah, no. I mean, Thorne already had said on the podcast that you know what, if you want to see Jeff Cobb in Cleveland, get your tickets to this event, because we have no idea when he's coming back. So, I mean, he put over Tom Lawler fairly strongly, because, well, he might not be coming back.
Yeah, good luck to him wherever he goes, because I have enjoyed his stuff in Ring of Honor. I did not really see him before that. Yeah, we'll see where that one goes. We got the main event next. It was a half hour of, you know, they really do love the scramble match in AIW. I don't know why. Maybe, I guess I always feel like the formatting works for their matches, and I don't know how it ends up working, But they always end up organizing these scramble matches fairly well to keep people included, keep people out for a while. It gets a little bit crazy when there's six people in there. And then you have, what's his name, Wes Barkley running around. We got Bill Alfonso added to the soup. So there were eight bodies running around the ring during this match, and it was a wild one.
Yeah, this match was wild in every good way that could be wild. It was, you know, it certainly met my expectations for it to be just a wild brawl of a six way match. You know, I love this match. Once again, it was probably the second best match on the show after Shelley and Moriarty, and you know, and of course a completely different style of match. So once again, that's a big plus for the show. Yeah, no, I mean this is definitely a match worth going out of your way to see. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a very enjoyable match. The more I see the doors in use, the more I am for doors and against tables. Those things really, they almost blow up like a Jeff Jarrett guitar. Like, I don't understand how a door is that cheap to make, that it blows up like that.
Yeah, I would have never thought that doors were cheaper than tables, or that a door could break like that. I don't know who exactly was able to figure that out first, that doors are more economical weapon to put people through than tables, but again, thumbs up to them. It's fun. I mean, I know it seems like every indie is switching to doors, so it can get a little repetitive, but...
Oh, right.
I like the way AIW uses doors. I wouldn't have used any doors in earlier matches, though. I would have saved the doors and all the weapons usage just for this match. I know AIW does shows with multiple hardcore matches, you know, in the past, but I think for this show, just saving everything for the main event would have been a better decision. There wasn't that much earlier on in the show. That's kind of nitpicky.
Yeah, because there was definitely less of the hardcore stuff on this show than others. It did help that Mance Warner and Nick Gage were both in the same match. When those two are separated, that tends to mean at least two hardcore matches. And Josh Bishop was also involved. And we didn't have any, what's his name? Matthew Justice.
Yeah, no, Matthew Justice has been in Japan. He was working, I believe, the Game Changer shows in Japan this past week. So this was... provide an opportunity for them to determine a new number one contender for the absolute title with no absolute champion on the show, which, you know, it made it akin to, you know, AIW's version of, say, the Elimination Chamber, I would make the comparison to.
Oh. Yeah, that's a good comparison.
Yeah, so no, this was a good, you know, once again, a great main event for a, you know, minor show meant to set up a bigger show down the road. Interesting, Joshua Bishop getting the win here. You know, once again, I was kind of down on it. You know, thinking this match again. You know, between, you know, the Bishop Justice feud continuing. Not that they haven't had. You know, I mean, it's kind of the flip side of PME and Two Fifty Beyond. I mean, I think Justice and Bishop have outstanding matches against each other for the most part. But, you know, once again, something new, you know. I would have liked to have seen Gage or Nick Gage or or Mance Warner win the match, particularly Mance Warner. But there was definitely a reason for Joshua Bishop to win this match.
Yeah, they definitely have been behind him more than anyone else, as far as him and Matthew Justice have both kind of been pushed up the card a lot recently. And so I guess I wasn't surprised by the outcome. It would be nice, but they have a history, and it'll end up getting blown off in April, and we will probably not see this feud continued when we are at AIW Live.
I mean, they definitely had a specific reason for doing this, because they are running WrestleMania weekend. They're running the Thursday before WrestleMania, with the show beginning at 11:59 p.m. That's not even going to end until about 3 a.m. So, why not main event with a barbed wire match and have an absolute bloodbath? at 2:30 in the morning.
that will definitely be one that I will not be watching live. Some of us have jobs that require you to be asleep at that point. But I'm sure that I will get around to that at some juncture. I guess I'm not really into rating shows, as far as an actual star rating. But I think we both said we yet again enjoyed the show. I'm not sure if we'll end up seeing the show in between this one and the one for WrestleMania. Not sure if that's going to be online or not.
They got two shows. They got an Akron show that will not be. Then their annual Gauntlet for the Gold, which is their Royal Rumble ripoff, basically.
Oh, right.
Just call it what it is. That's in March at the Odeon. So yeah, I guess it would be up to them if they decide. Well, the WrestleMania weekend show is definitely going to be on. That's going to be one of the shows that's going to be a full price show on Fight TV. So it would be yet to be seen whether they will do for the Golden March on IndependentWrestling.tv.
Yeah. So I guess for now we can. Any other thoughts before we mosey on out of here? I guess I do always like to ask that question.
This show, this gets a high recommendation. IndependentWrestling.tv. Sign up and get a 5-day free trial with the promo code Absolute.
Yeah, and we're not getting paid for that, so enjoy.
No, we're not.
I'm at DeFrango11. That's at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, or wherever you happen to listen to us. And have a good night.
Later.